Leviticus 4. Now, what we're gonna do for the next period of time is we're gonna go through these different things on the list and see. Okay? These questions on the right hand, the left hand column, are just, you know, questions that when you look at all of the offerings in general, these different questions have to be answered. In this case, remember, we've read those scriptures enough, right? And we don't have to reread them again tonight, right now. But it's Leviticus 5:14. It's on your charts. So look up here, right? It's on this axis of your charts, the scriptures. There are two descriptions of the trespass offering. One is the description of the trespasses against God. One is the description of the trespasses against your neighbor. Who is the offended party? The first one, obviously, God is the offended party. In the second part, your neighbor is the offended party. Who does the trespass offering atone for? It doesn't atone for anyone, because only the act is atoned. You understand? There's no atonement that is enduring, because every time the act was done, it needed another offering. Every time you screwed up, even if you did the same thing day after day after day after day, then you would have to come and make the trespass offering day after day after day after day.
So there are people like constantly
atoning. They're like, my goodness.
It would be that.
Now the problem here is,
so silly.
Many of you have trespasses that you're aware of, that you're conscious of, that plague you constantly. But you get bored with making the trespass offering, i.e. with the confession and with the understanding. So you put yourself in the position of God judging the efficacy of the offerings. You understand? And so rather than make the trespass offering daily, i.e. the confession of it and the ask for forgiveness, what happens? You say, I already did that. Think of this. Think of it. It's massively important to you. What do you think that you lack in? That's your definition of your trespass, besides the obvious ones. You pray, so you stop praying because you don't feel like you know how to pray, because you feel uncomfortable in prayer, and so you stop praying forever. Because you made a trespass against the Father. And then you somehow slough it all off into a corner. You say, somehow this doctrine doesn't require that I pray. And so you might get really in trouble one time, and then you try to pray, and you feel uncomfortable again, so you don't pray. If you're a couple and you don't pray together, I promise you, you're headed for disaster. Become so sophisticated because you are a member of this particular body that seems to be semi-cool in your eyes, that you've lost the desire and lost the need to pray. You've lost the need. So what do you do instead? Nothing. Every once in a while, as I said, you get the Do you understand? By not praying, you are trespassing against God. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking, and it shall be given to you. But you pray once, if at all, and then decided it didn't work, or you didn't do it right, or you felt uncomfortable and you walked away from it and returned to the world's ways and wonder why your life is screwed up. I've made the mistake of teaching you too much about prayer, too much about the offering, so you've lost the childlike necessity to pray if in need. You do everything else except pray. Am I communicating?
Yeah.
It's time for that to stop. Now, above all times. If we are not a praying people, we are no people. We are cosmic jokes because we are no good for the world and we are no good for God. So who have you trespassed against? You've trespassed against the Father. How? Well, we've started, one, in prayer. You want to start in praise? You want to start in worship? Can you see you've done nothing but trespass against the Father? He is worthy to receive your praise. He is worthy to receive your worship. He is worthy to receive your prayer. You do everything except that. So you've made this doctrine in which you've been delivered a religion of intellectualism in your minds. Again, the trespass offering was offered every time the trespass occurred. It didn't have any basis for how many times. In other words, it didn't matter if it was 3 million times in the person's lifetime that they offered a trespass offering for the trespass. Every time the trespass occurred, the offering had to be made. But you become too sophisticated for that. You become convinced. You have become convinced that to serve God is a vain thing. And therefore you don't pray, therefore you don't ask, therefore you don't offer. And you get stuck in your vanity. You get stuck in your belief that God is vain and fruitless. You make no offerings. You make no prayer. You make no worship. You make no praise. You are trespassing against the Father and the holy things. Much less the tithes and the offerings, which are the holy things, by the way. Much less the things you don't even know about yet. The Thanksgiving vows, the vows of acceptance, not the vows of Tilton. Every time the word vow is used in the scriptures, he's talking about the peace offering. Tilton has made it a joke. That's why I'm so furious at that idiot. Because he's made the highest order of understanding and fellowship between God and man an instrument of his own self-gratification. God help him. God help you if you're making fun of him and yet still are in a position of trespassing against the Father in the holy things daily. Now, above all times, do you need to begin to understand prayer and praise and worship? They're calling me Satan. Above all times, you need prayer and praise and worship, or you will believe it. You think it's funny that they're calling me Satan? That's because they're not calling you Satan. You understand?
Yeah.
You've offended the Father. daily in the holy things, in the area of sanctification, being separate from the world, in the area of praise, in the area of prayer, in the area of tithes, in the area of offerings. Because daily you have lost the sense of excitement and you returned in particular areas, every one of you, and I know every one of you well enough to know the areas you think of it in, you have said it's a vain thing to serve the Lord. We have entered into the battle, folks. The battle has been engaged. If you do not have on the armor of God, you will be destroyed. And if you don't daily confess your trespasses, you will also be destroyed. To be standing at the gate of hell doesn't leave you any room for negotiation. And if this is where we believe that we are, and I believe we are, there's nowhere else that we can go, then you cannot retreat. And without confession and forgiveness and love and prayer and praise and sanctification and tithes and offerings, you will be destroyed. I'm not kidding you. Trespass offering for the holy things. It does no good unless the offerer believes that he has made a trespass or committed a trespass. Do you understand? The offerings of Jesus Christ, when he made and completed and perfected the trespass offering, vis-a-vis the trespasses towards the Father, do no good to you unless you understand that you have committed the trespass. And you confess it each time it comes to mind, the Holy Spirit brings it to mind, that you have committed the trespass. Not only that, as you will see, if you understand you've committed the trespass, then you must repay in full the amount of the trespass after the shekels of the sanctuary, as determined by the priest, and add a 20% penalty to it. What does that mean? It means you must be in a position of need at all times, or you will have to be, he will exact the last farthing from you. I beg of you, hear me. I beg of you to understand that whether you like it or not, I have committed you to a battle. You didn't have any decision in it. You didn't sit down and help decide the battle strategy. You didn't sit down to help decide anything. I took the action to commit you publicly to a battle. I've told you for years that to be publicly identified with this doctrine is going to cost you everything. Well, it started. It started Friday night. You are in the same position, except worse than those people over there that are in Saudi Arabia right now. The 400,000 Americans, or however many there are. They had nothing to do with it. But they are in position for a battle. And they had absolutely nothing to do with it. I pray that you have been fully equipped for the work of the ministry. I pray that you fully understand the need for the cross at all times. I pray that you cannot be seduced by self-realization. I pray that that preparation has been made manifest within each of you. But I promise you that every trick of the world and the demons and the devil will be thrown against us. And at a minimum, you had better understand. understand and apprehend the trespass offering. At a minimum, you better have understood that you have committed trespasses against the Father in the holy things, and seek His forgiveness and guidance daily. Am I communicating with anyone? Okay, so who is the offended party? In this case, the ones we're talking about tonight, it was God. The offenses against your neighbor are many, millions. We're going to talk about those later. What the sacrifice or what the trespass offering atones for? It only atones for the particular trespass at the moment. In other words, you can't just sort of go make one that sort of covers everything. You can't kind of make a blanket confession. Oh, Father, I have sinned.
I've done a lot of bad stuff.
Oh, I'm really a bad person.
You don't know.
You don't know how bad I am.
I know that one because I've used that.
Yeah. Or the ones you, what you really do though is one. Father, if I have done this.
Yeah.
I accept your condemnation.
All right, what you do that one, where you really do that one for is in couples. She accuses you of something, you say, well, if I've done it, I'm sorry.
That sucks worse than death.
I think I hit September between the eyes.
That sucks worse than death.
If I'd heard it, I'd know.
If I've done this, I'm sorry.
That's really
good. That'll get you a long way.
It's
anti-confession. This is, but I mean, you know, the confession has a name. That's a housewright confession. If I have done this.
If somewhere
heard those words before.
It's a cruel road to hoe.
It's tough, isn't it?
Not really.
Could be worse.
It could be
hairy.
It's hairy or
in stereo.
Okay, who kills the offering?
You can't
see it. You don't know. You don't. It's a low apprehension. Is there any laying on of hands? Well, you don't really know about that. There's no mention of it in the scriptures. But who receives the 20%? Who determines the evaluation? Remember what we said?
Doesn't the priest get it?
The priest gets the 20%, and the priest determines the evaluation in terms of shekels of the sanctuary. Every offense, every trespass, had a value in shekels. Now, almost all of the activities of the 140,000 priests in the temple and all of the Levites were funded by the trespass offering at 20%.
That's wild.
Funded everything?
Just funded just about everything.
Question. I'm not understanding part of the chart here. The top says soul and ram on both of them.
Yeah.
So why is there some parts of the column different?
Second.
One goes to the neighbor. One is the God. One.
Oh, one's against God.
One's against God and one's against the neighbor. There's two types of trespasses. One's against God and one's against the neighbor. There really doesn't need to be. Really, if I'd have done this right, we would have only had one column with two differences, because everything is the same in the other column, you see. Except one's for God and one's for the neighbor. But notice, the thing to notice about that, and the reason I put it in two, is it's the same. In other words, it can destroy your spirit, you know. Well, what I've been faced with a lot lately is, Oli, you're such a bastard, and you're interfering with the work of the Holy Spirit, because only the Holy Spirit is supposed to tell me what to do. Or only the Holy Spirit's supposed to discipline me.
Well, yeah, that's a real nice thing to say.
It's the
exactly what does the Holy Spirit look like?
Well, yeah, but, yeah. I mean, the idea of that is, I'm not going to be guided by any man. I'm guided only by God.
I was telling him that.
Well, what that is, it's the home. It's the refuge of all demagogues. Every demagogue in history has said that. But I mean, can you imagine? Like, well, let me ask you this: can you imagine me starting a television program called the Ole Anthony Evangelistic Association? How about Ole Anthony Ministries?
No. Ole Anthony Hour.
What about Success in Life?
How about Ole Anthony Hour?
Anthony, just the Ole Hour.
Yeah, but the point of it is, I can't get by with any of that crap.
We slash your tires.
I mean, think of the number of things that are done. You know, I mean, that I can't get by with. Why? It's not because you guys are in real bright, great, you know.
Thank you.
It is too, then.
Thank you. Oh, sure. Thank you very much.
It's because we have an intimacy where nothing can be faked. Okay, but notice on the chart, the things that can be seen by the senses are exactly the same. Doesn't matter whether the trespasses are against God or against man. That's kind of wild.
So by the senses, you can't tell the difference.
By the senses, you can't tell the difference.
Oh, by who's trespassed again?
And the ramifications of it are the same.
More than others.
Remember that there's no difference.
Against the only.
That's why, that's the meaning when Philip said, "Sir, I would see the Father, or show me the Father, and it would suffice us." And Jesus said, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. And we can say, if you've seen us, you've seen the Son. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. There's no difference. If you've trespassed against one of us, you've trespassed against the Son. You've trespassed against the Father. You understand that? Mm-hmm. That's what the meaning of this little... That's why I put... It's exactly the same. Can you imagine that? A trespass against a gutter drunk is the same... as the same function as the trespass against the God of eternity. That's wild. It's wild and wonderful.
It really says something about how you work the rules.
Yeah. All right. Where is it killed? Well, we don't even know that. Here's from now on, from where it killed, the disposition of blood, disposition of fat, all the rest of that. We don't know except by inference. If we read the scriptures about the trespass offering, it doesn't tell us anything about where it's killed or the disposition of the blood or the disposition of the fat. We have to know, that's like in terms of understanding, in terms of this process of apprehension that we're going through, we really have to wait until we have apprehended the sin offering before we know all this stuff. And what that means is, it's the lowest level of, I mean, the first few things up here are the lowest level of apprehension of the spirituals or spiritual matters there is. Everything we've talked about the last three or four times, it's the littlest that you can get by with knowing about God.
What's the importance of fat?
Fat, because the fat is burned in both the trespass offering, it's burned in the sin offering, and it's burned in all the other offerings. It's the indicator, the main import is that it's the indicator that the offering was accepted.
Oh, cool.
So rather than consuming, you know, rather than using, the offering is accepted. It represents the health and the wholeness. Understand that? Well, we'll get into it. I promise you, we're going to know so much about call of livers and fat and kidneys and that before we're done with this stuff that you'll, I mean, don't worry about not understanding a little part of this. Okay? But I find it, you see, we don't know anything. All we know, do you understand? I know intrinsically. I know when I've offended somebody. I also, believe it or not, know when I've offended God. And I know There's something about me, there's something in this vessel that says, it's not just necessary to say I forgive you, I mean, or seek that forgiveness, it's necessary to repay something. It's necessary for it to cost me something if I've offended you. And it's also, there's something in me that says it's not just necessary for it to cost me something to repay the offense. It has to be more than was offended. More than the value of the trespass. That's the problem with the criminal justice system in America. We've lost this mystery. So the criminal loses respect for the system because his internal spirit says he should be repaying back what he has stolen plus 20%. But the system says that you don't have to repay it and you don't have to pay your 20%. So the whole process breaks down. Do you understand? All right, well, let's go on down. Where is it killed? You have to look at the tabernacle. It's killed in the same place the sin offering is, at the door of the tabernacle. It's killed right there.
At A.
No, yeah, A or E, either one. All right, what, E, A or East, I should say. No, it's killed there. It's cut up, certain things are taken in some places, you know. You remember what? The rump, the two kidneys, the liver, and the flanks, and the fat are talked about. Why just that stuff? I mean, you could have talked about 6 billion things that are in that body. But they talk only about these things. And those things, even in the sin offering, even in the trespass offering, are brought in through the door. And this is a myth here. This is big time. They're brought in through the door, and they're placed on this fire, and they're burned. Even from the sin offering. Now, the rest of the stuff, all of the rest of the body, the skin, everything else, is taken outside the camp to a clean place and burned. Why is the sin offering, you hear me, you got to understand this, neither the trespass offering nor the sin offering are voluntary, they're compulsory. You do not have a choice in them. You think you have a choice, but you don't. You think that you can get by with not seeking the forgiveness or not paying the retribution for the sin or for the trespass, but you can't. Every act, you understand society in America, society, not in America, society in the world is falling apart. I mean, any casual observer can see it. Why? It's falling apart because there is no more understanding of this, even a vague reference to this repaying of wrong. There's no, in the minds of the criminals, in the minds of the kids, there is no effect. They no longer see the effect of their words or their actions. What we have, the discipline problems we have with the children here at the school, are just a reflection on the spirit of the age. There is no longer a consciousness of the effects of your words or the effects of your actions. Because without that, there cannot be a society. Now, that is the evidence that we're nearing the end. You understand? If you are in a society where there is no possibility of having, or the general requirement of the society has no requirement for seeing the consequences of words or actions, there is no necessity to repay or to have retribution for your mistakes, then if you are in that society and seeing that, you then are the sanctified, you're holy, you're separate by the act of seeing. Do you understand that?
So it makes sanctification clear. In the midst of, to the senses, there is no clearness. Remember? The cosmetic, the testing now, it no longer cost us our life to say that I believe in God. And everybody said it. It's even Tilton Rondron says it. It's everybody can say it or not say it, it doesn't matter. It's just, most time you're just ignored. So in the midst of all of the non-seeing, non-separateness, non-costliness of sanctification, if you are among the few that understand and apprehend and repay, if you will, the trespass offering, that in itself will produce the sanctification that's the cosmetic for the bride. You hear that? A little bit? The understanding of this produces your own separateness, your own sanctification. It's automatic. You don't have to sweat it.
It's like that thing we were talking about a few weeks ago about my watching the experiment.
That's right. All right. Again, where killed the door of the tabernacle? What happens to the blood? Again, the thing that makes us different. We talked about the blood already, that the blood is sprinkled at the base of the brazen altar. The brazen altar means that you're asking for judgment. So you're asking for access to judgment. So by the act of sprinkling or seeing the blood sprinkled at the base of the altar of judgment, you, by apprehending it, you are asking God for his judgment on you. Now again, can you imagine anything greater that will affect your own sanctification? Disposition of the fat. What happens to the fat? In every offering, whether it's from the burnt offering, from the highest order down to the trespass offering of the lowest order, if the fat is seen, i.e. if it's an animal that has fat in its body, the fat is always burned. The burning of that is like God's signal. If he allows the fat to be burned, it's God's signal that says the offering is accepted. Now, what does that mean to you? And what does that mean to fat? Fat is the indicator of whether or not something is ministering to you, to self-realization, or to God. Thomas says that there was not one overweight person nor one underweight person in Israel as they went across the wilderness. The shoes never wore out. There was never sick. There were no feeble ones. Because all of the fat was not consumed for self, it was consumed on the altar. There was nothing that ministered to self in their life. All of the fat was burned on the altar. The indicator then is that all of the sacrifice, that's the indicator in Christ, that all of his words, everything about him, down to the subtlest thing, was not for him. It was always as unto the Lord. There was no trickster that could convince him that he was doing something for himself. The idea of doing something for yourself is the lie. You understand me? It's impossible to do something for yourself. It's not that you shouldn't do something for yourself. It's not that you shouldn't think in terms of self-realization. Self-realization is impossible. Nature reveals it. Scripture reveals it. Everything reveals it, except your mind. Your mind and the God of this world keep convincing you that you have to be concerned with self-realization. You got to have lived long enough by now. You understand me? Self-realization is impossible. Concerns about self are futile. I mean, it's not that you shouldn't have self-realization. You can't have self-realization. The thing that gets you in trouble isn't self-realization. The thing that gets you in trouble is believing that lie of separateness and that requires you to have, think you need self-realization. Am I talking in riddles?
I don't know.
That's why none of this stuff is shoulds or ought tos. It's what is. Religion makes it should or ought tos. Religion makes you have to play religious or spiritual sorcery in order for you to get what you want. One of the things that you have always done, each one of you, up till now, is you've always felt compelled to make the atonement for your trespass private. Mm-hmm. And so therefore you would go alone someplace and think about it or try to figure it out or go get drunk or go, you know, cry on your bed or do something private. But in the spirit, from now on, every trespass offering was a public offering. It was done in the sight of the brethren as they were all come up for whatever the day was, that whatever was happening. You understand? There's no such thing in Israel as a private offering, a private atonement. The only private thing is leprosy. And the only way that leprosy was privatized is that you had to be alone until you saw that you were leprous from the top of your head to the bottom of your foot. Until you were totally leprous. If there was any possibility for getting it right, then you had to be alone. Once you knew you were totally leprous, then it became a public matter. Now, you've been taught by the evil one since childhood to go to your closet to figure it out. In other words, go in here to the private rooms to begin to question it, to talk about it, and analyze it, and turn it over. That's what you've always done. I want you to hear this clearly. Going into this private closet is going into the temple of Satan. And it has only one fruit, one outcome. And that is some kind of self-realization. Either self-suffering, mourning, or self-atonement of some kind. There's no possibility of getting it right by thinking about it. There is no such thing as a private trespass offering. Now, the other thing about the trespass offering is you do not get to decide where to offer it. And you do not get to decide who to offer it to. It's a public offering. For years, most of you have come to me privately and thought that was your atonement. It has to be here. It has to be in the body. You understand? Now, there are all kinds of things that take place between you, between individuals. How can I say this? Those are the grains of sand to exercise you. And they are to be shared, but they don't have to be mourned publicly again. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Well,
you mean the irritations and stuff?
No, Tyra and I go through, we were talking out in the porch. A jillion things that have taken place with us. But, I don't know how to say it. How did you say it? I can't say it like you said it. They were never done separately, or...
Well, I was talking about what you guys talked about, it's like we always look at whatever happens. I mean, we just isolate it, you know. And we've talked about before what was going on with you
didn't really have what she perceived as going on, didn't really have anything to do with what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, the million things that go on between us that, I mean, that it's just not, but, and that's what I was saying about, I mean, knowing that, I mean, your only option is to be satisfied with what you are and to confess that.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be any different. I'm not saying this very well, but.
You don't have to try to be different than you are. Okay, let's go to the chart again. We've talked about the disposition of the fat. Does everybody understand that? That it's the fact that the fat is burned is...
outside the camp in a clean place.
No, not the fat. The fat's burned on the altar.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, before you said it. Yeah. A little while ago you said it was...
Mm-hmm. No. Skin,
I said the rump, the kidneys, the liver, and the flanks, and the fat were all burned on the altar. Everything else was taken outside the camp. Now, I'm going to go through in great detail later and talk about these inner parts because they're common, they're mentioned in each of the offerings that there's something special. Anytime something is mentioned in the Torah, like something as off-key as a kidney or a rump or the liver or the flanks or the caul, you got to know it's, and if it's mentioned as many times as it is, it's something important. Something is that God's trying to show us something. So we're going to just, for the moment, accept that for some reason, the inward parts of the sacrifice here, the rump, the two kidneys, the liver and the flanks and the fat, are important. They are not touched by, they are not burned outside the camp. They are good enough to be burned on the altar. That means something. And parts of them are good enough for the priest to eat them. So it means something. There's some mystery there. Do you understand? Now, the disposition of the body is the biggie. The skin... everything else besides what's specifically mentioned, the head, the inwards, the intestines, the stomach, everything that isn't mentioned here is taken outside the camp. It's dealt with outside the confines of the white linen curtain. Now, and it's not optional. I mean, you understand that it's like well, let's go to Leviticus 4 and see if we can see what's going on here.
When you say outside the white linen curtain, you're talking about it can be burned inside these lines.
No. It's outside the camp, and the camp is not just here. The camp is all of the people, all of the tents that everybody lived in were all around this. This was the center. Wait till we get to how the camp is laid out in the wilderness.
All right.
It had to be burned outside that camp, not just outside the tabernacle. Do you understand?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Okay.
This is the tabernacle in the wilderness, and it's set in the center, somewhat in the center, of the camp. Now there are 6 million people that are in tents that are arranged in a very particular order around this tabernacle. And each of the 12 tribes have a particular cardinal point of the compass that they are at. And each of them have a, we're going to get into all that. But for right now, we've got enough on our table here to study the trespass off. Okay, let's look at outside the camp stuff. Leviticus 4, well, start in verse 9. I mean, all this is about the bullock and what they're doing with it and sin offering, but... in verse 9, and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away, meaning taking away, and because they're going to use it on them, they're going to do something with it. As it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering, and the skin of the bullock, and all his flesh, and his head, with his legs, and his inwards, and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp, unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out, shall he be burnt. What the hell does that mean? Why are they taking this sacrifice for both all of the trespass offerings, all of the sin offerings, and they're taking it in this unique ceremony way outside in a place where nobody's living, where there's a land where there's no inhabitants, and it's burned in a clean place. Why a clean place? And what in the hell does that mean? And it's burned with fire until there's nothing left. The fire's hot enough so that there's absolutely nothing left.
Something that they go into that they're poured out from?
Well, when the altar is cleaned,
yep.
And there's tons of wood, tons of this thing is going all the time. There's a place on the bottom of the altar that has ashes. Mm-hmm. And those ashes have to be wheeled out of there and something done with. And that's where they take the ashes, is the same place that this fire is that's burned. So that which is waste or left over from the burned altar, it goes to the same place that the whole body of the bullock is going.
That's kind of wild because, you know, to your sense, it's not a clean place. It's covered with ashes.
And it's the place where all kinds of the thing that bore away the sin. That's what you have to see. These are offerings where there was laying on of hands so that this bullock or the trespass, the sacrifice, the ram in the case of the trespass offering became, by the act of laying on of hands, the act of the trespass was imputed to that animal. You got it? It was taken away from the one who laid his hands on it and imputed to that animal. That animal was then killed. That animal was then taken, only inner certain parts of it were said to be okay, and that animal was then taken to a particular place outside the camp and burned. It was the sin bearer. It carried the trespass. It in itself, anybody that touched that and carried it and had to do with dealing it out to that place was unclean. And they were unclean till evening. They had to do the whole washing ceremony. What is that place? And what does it mean? And what does it mean to you? If Christ, you understand that Christ, that each of these offerings was a type, a picture of a work of Christ. So Christ, in this offering, in this work, as the trespass offering, was cut up, taken apart, taken outside the camp, and burned. At the place where the ashes of all these other terrible things were done, were burned.
Why didn't God kill Christ by burning?
He did. That's what he did when he went to Gehenna for 3 days. When he was in the grave 3 days and three nights, he was in the place of being burned until there was nothing left of him after the flesh. That's the place where the ashes are poured out. Gehenna.
His work as the trespass offering and sin offering, not because it's a bullet. It's the same.
It's a ram in this case. The ram is what we're studying, the trespass offering. But it was burned. Huh? We were studying the sin offering, but you remember in the trespass offering it says, as it is for the sin offering, so it is for the trespass offering.
So it's a ram, it's a bullet. But
In his work, in the picture of him, in the picture of the completed work as the trespass offering, he is the ram that's offered for each particular trespass. It's a ram that couldn't be offered for the trespass unless the owner owned it. It's a ram that had to be perfect. It had to be perfect as an offering in order to be accepted for that trespass. The evidence that it was accepted was that the fat from the inwards were burned on the altar. And the other particular aspects of the rump, the flanks, were cut up, burned on the altar, and the priests gained sustenance from that act. The rest of him, the head, the flat, I mean, the everything else was taken outside the camp, and whoever touched him was unclean. Taken outside the camp to a place where there was no inhabitant, and burned until there was nothing, for 3 days and three nights, until there was nothing left after the flesh. Until the smallest detail, the smallest particle of bone was burned. Do you understand what that means?
Was that this? So did he suffer the second death? He died on the cross and he died again?
What it means is that there is nothing. There is no aspect of the flesh that can make it through the fire. Anything that can make it through that can be at all useful is something inward that you can't see. If you can see it or sense it, it has not gone. It is. There is no value in it. Do you understand? You must know by now that, for instance, even the things that are the holy things of God, love, for instance, love is what God accepts. God is love. The thing you must know by now that you know nothing about love. You only know about stergo, which is self-love. You know nothing about agape. And yet God says the only possible way that you have to be completed is to experience agape, to experience, to see this as the finished work of Christ, to see this as you then going out. Look at, now go to Hebrews 13. Verse 5, let your conversation or manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their manner of life or conversation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar. Where? We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts which blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate or without the camp. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now do you see what that means? If you go unto him outside the camp, you have, that's your fate. Your fate is to have nothing succeed after the flesh. Your fate is to have no thing that you think about, no thing that you desire come to pass. And yet in that bearing, in that offering of yourself, all things that you desire will come to pass. Means to delight yourself in the Lord. To delight yourself in the Lord means to go where he is. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. You were not constructed to be satisfied by the things that you can sense. You understand that? This isn't some stupid little religion of abstinence. It's the certainty that you are we as a body, there's some of us that have gone through every aspect of things that you could sense and found it to be futile. And by the same token then, here, the thing that you see is that he, as Jesus Christ, as the trespass offering, bore your reproach for every possible trespass that you could commit, as long as it's confessed publicly. Not in some little confessional, not in a little room that's black and dark inside and you can't even see the person you're talking to confess it.
But that's what you were talking about earlier when you were talking about confessing it to the body or
not necessarily always in this room, but not,
not in this quietly. See, that the Catholic confession was just a type of your own mind, you understand? Well, anyway. That's enough. I don't want to talk anymore. Let's talk about, if you understand it, let's find out if you understand that. You understand basically that what we're doing now is taking the work and the person of Jesus Christ, and we're literally cutting it up, and we're literally seeing that each of these things that we are studying, He has completed, and that all that is necessary for us to gain joy and peace and sustenance is to see that He's completed it, so that it fakes out this evil one. This evil one tells us we have all kinds of atonement to make because we have made a trespass. You've spent a lifetime making atonements.
That's really the hardest part, is realizing that the magnitude of it all being covered, or making that real, you know, day-to-day, it's just, you know, it's so ingrained. It's so hard to, you know, in some new way.
That's why through the foolishness of preaching, men are saved.
Well, I can't, you know, I don't really get this, but I think something that I almost sort of get is the thing about laying hands on the animal and actually transmitting the deed or the guilt or whatever to that animal.
The trespass.
I think I almost see that by laying hands on Christ, that it's transmitted to Him, which means He did it.
That it's transmitted.
And that it's complete arrogance to do anything else.
Yeah, because if you retain it.
It sounds like, oh, how could I blame Jesus? Or how, you know, why should I take this and put it on Him? But that's ultimate arrogance.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't do any good to say that He did it. That's a trick.
Well, what does it mean?
It means He atoned for it. You know, it doesn't have any more power over you.
Well, then what's the picture of putting your hands on a ram? The ram.
Because He then, the ram was killed for what you did.
Well, what does it mean to, when you put your hands on something, what does it mean to say that the ramifications of that deed or that guilt is transmitted.
The guilt is transmitted to Him, then He is killed for it.
Not that He's.
He did it, if you want to stop there, but then if you stop there, you'll create some weird philosophy. He had to do it. He had to be seen as doing it in order that He could be the sin or the trespass bearer for a minute.
Oh, well, okay, wait a minute. I didn't really stop. I stopped talking there. I forgot what I was going to say.
All right.
But it's the idea that He, in the vessel, He as the vessel, did it.
Right.
I.e., it's always been
there. Right.
Okay.
There's only two. There's only two people in history.
Forget that.
Adam and Christ. You don't exist. You got to get that through your mind eventually.
Yeah.
You don't have free will.
That's what you were saying earlier. That it's like hearing it for the first time. He says, "You can't be self-realized."
Yeah.
It's impossible. Your mind's the only thing that tells you you can be self-realized.
You can't have a problem. You can't have a desire. You can't have a want. Those are all lies. But you choose to believe the lie rather than see Him. If you see Him, you rest and you can be totally and completely content. He then is standing as you. You understand? He is standing as you. He went to the cross as you. He rose from the, He went to hell as you. He rose from the dead as you. But if you don't see that, then you only have one other option. Not that you're going to be able to do anything. You have to be the other one. You have to be the first Adam. There's only the first Adam and the last Adam. That's the only two people in history.
And that's the trust, that's being the last, like Nat saw last in herself.
Amen.
He was wrong or he shouldn't be that way.
Right, and then he mourned for it.
Yeah.
You understand? When we see what we see, what we've inherited, mourning is impossible. Joy is our only inheritance. Joy is the all that can be. See, that's why I get so furious at these idiots that take a little piece of it and try to give Adam the benefits. That's somebody robbing your inheritance. In the first place, it's making God a goofus.
But even, sometimes though, even after you see that, it seems like they're still, it's still real hard sometimes. Just like in our situation.
Right, but you don't ever have to pay it any breath. The difference is you no longer have to dwell in it. The dwelling in the issue is the place that most of you have wallowed in them. Whatever the thing is, you've wallowed in it.
I know I wallow in it when I don't talk to you about it. And that's
right.
When I had to call you up the other night, it's just a disappointment.
Yeah, but the real issue then comes, and it's your unique situation, and just as every one of us has a unique one, but the end result of it was not the flesh that was going to be whatever the thing that was going on.
Yeah.
The end result of it was that you would have left the body.
Oh yeah, I know. I mean, that's what I said to you.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, whenever there's the issue of her inability or of our inability to get together or my weirdness about anything, then the focus is on whatever's going on in the flesh. But the real thing that's going on is that it's something trying to draw one or both of us away from the bottom.
Yeah. And as long as I'm trying to be a certain way or thinking that I've got to tolerate our situation, or whatever, that I just keep all that in here instead of this time,
just let it
all. Talking about it to him,
But the thing that we have to do, and that's our screw ups, is we have to be able to begin to talk about it openly here.
Yeah, it's weird sometimes that I get oblique references or bring out.
Well, again, you don't have to go. You don't have to go around trying to figure stuff out. You'll know. If it's weird, you say something.
Yeah.
If you're arrested, you don't. You rest. You don't have to go try to dig up stuff. Yeah, go ahead and take a big gut.